This episode of the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast is brought to you by...
From the makers of the Fenton Finder, it's the new Fenton Thermos, the perfect device for capturing ghosts.
Eat hot Fenton Thermos, ghost gal!
It may look like an ordinary thermos, but the Fenton Thermos can fire a beam of blue light and suck in and capture any ghost.
But how am I going to get it to work?
The Fenton Thermos can hold in multiple ghosts at once, but will need to be emptied into the ghost zone at your local convenient ghost portal.
Thanks for the thermos!
Available in green and gray, the new Fenton Thermos. Found wherever ghost hunting equipment is sold.
Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon!
From Nickelodeon Studios in Burbank, California, this is the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Hector Navarro. Welcome to the podcast. Our guests today are some of the voices behind one of the most popular shows Nickelodeon has ever aired. Danny Phantom premiered in 2004 and instantly started amassing a cult-like following. The series star Danny Fenton, regular 14-year-old kid whose molecules got all rearranged after he had an accident with a very strange machine, and gained ghost-based superpowers. He immediately started fighting crime and catching ghosts with his best friends, Tucker Foley, Samantha Sam Manson, and his sister Jasmine Jazz Fenton. Today, we're lucky enough to have with us the amazing voice actors who brought these characters to life: David Kaufman, Gray Griffin, Ricky Deshaun Collins, and Colleen O'Shaughnessy. First of all, guys, sincerely, thank you so much for coming down. This is going to be so much fun. It's so cool to see everybody. I asked you guys when the last time you guys all saw each other was, and I think it was to record the crossover. Is that right? The crossover short?
Yeah. Yes.
So guys, in case our listeners aren't aware, Nickelodeon and Butch just created this short that includes the star characters from all of his shows: Danny Phantom, Fairly Odd Parents, Tough Puppy, and even the new Bunsen is a Beast. You've got Bunsen popping in there at the end. What was it like to see each other after all these years to come back and do this crossover? I mean, what was that like?
It was great. I mean, well, the funniest thing, we were just talking about how old Ricky is now. But he looks so different. He's got facial hair.
He was such
a kid when we recorded.
He was a teenager, and I always felt bad for flirting with him. But now my husband is actually the same age as Ricky now, so I could have probably hooked that up back then and just waited a little
totally
bit.
Totally okay. We start young. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. That's amazing. You look great, Ricky. Fun. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
It was really fun. Yeah. It's like a reunion.
What was it like when you guys found out that Danny Phantom and crew were going to be the sort of creative guiding force behind this short?
I love anything Butch is involved. I've been in almost every cartoon Butch has done. He's making a huge mistake, but leaving us out of Bunsen, I'll tell you that. We'll see if it survives without Gray. I don't know if
we'll
go.
We'll see.
No, I love Butch. I owe him so much.
It was fun. Yeah. I mean, it was the first time that I had ever, to take Danny Phantom and be speaking to the Fairly Odd Parents characters. It was a little jarring for me. It was because all of a sudden Danny's outside of his world, and I sort of had to like adjust my brain to that. But it's fun.
He was a great like everyman character because he pointed out that Tough Puppy wasn't wearing any pants right off the bat. He's not. Yeah.
And then you find out who would win, Sam or Vicky. You know, who's more of a badass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicky, you're just such a weirdo. Like, what's with your hair?
Shut up. Vegetarian, get out of my face!
All right, somebody please animate that. Somebody.
I got 100 on Sam, just in case anybody's wondering.
Guys, what was it like working with Butch when you got cast in the show all those years back? What was it like working with him?
Oh my god, it was great. He's such a giving director, and he's so funny, and he's so smart, and he's so, you know, he's very clear when he gives you a direction, and he's, I don't know, there's it's a great experience to work with Butch. He's a wonderful director.
Yeah, he's a great director, and he's able to make what he wants very clear in the session, but at the same time have fun, and it's like a party. People are joking and laughing, and it's almost like you don't know, it kind of all blurs together.
It's not work.
Yeah, and that sense of fun, I think, translates a lot into all of the shows that he does.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to disagree.
Which I want to get hired,
actor, you know. Which is an actor, so he gets it, you know.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
He lets you be yourself in the booth. I mean, I think for me that was a lot of fun. That was the best part of it. Like, I didn't have to come in here and have like, I'm worried, or mm-hmm. if I don't say my line right, or if I get it wrong, he's like, no, do it again. That sucked. Do it better. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I can do that. That's pretty clear. Yeah. And glowing green
eyes. He can walk through walls, disappear, and fly. He was running at the mall, but Danny Phantom. How did you guys get cast on Danny Phantom? Do you remember your initial reaction to, like, the concept of the show, to your specific characters? What was that like?
I remember my audition at my agency. They're like, oh, there's this cartoon, Nickelodeon. I'm like, okay, cool, Nickelodeon, awesome. Let's mm-hmm. go do it. And I remember reading the role, and I was like, wow, that's really me. Like, there's certain roles you audition for.
Yeah.
You can see yourself in it. And the audition was super smooth. And then they were like, oh, you got a callback. I was like, oh, cool. They're like, oh, they catch. I was like, oh, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
You're like, I'm Tucker. That's who I am. I'm Tucker.
I'm totally down. Like, that's me. Like, I squared away. But that's I really enjoyed it.
I remember, I couldn't believe how much he sounded like Alex P. Keaton. Which makes total sense because Butch is completely obsessed with Back to the Future. So I was like, oh my God, of course.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Him.
Yep.
And I did the voice of Marty
in for the Back to the Future
series. Yeah, that was my first foray into the world of animation.
Stuart Little, right? Another Michael J. Fox character. That's right.
Yes.
Colleen, do you remember getting booked on Danny Phantom?
I'm racking my brains. That part I don't remember. What I do remember very vividly is the table read, which it's rare for animation for you to get to do a table read. And I was like, oh, this is like, we're like doing like a movie or something. Like, this is fancy. Like, we had the big round table and the scripts, and I was so nervous because I had done a couple of shows, but this was my first Nickelodeon show, and oh my gosh, to walk into this building, it's like walking into like fantasy land. There's the bright colors, and there was basketball court. I mean, it was just like chocolate coming out of a dispenser, popcorn,
like cereal.
Yeah, it was crazy. Putt-putt, golf, and the, you know, but to do a table read, like, that was really exciting, and
that's so cool.
Back in the day, that's when we used to get our scripts messengered to our house. It was so exciting.
See, like, it happens.
I have a.
It happened.
It wasn't a pigeon, though, that brought it. I think it was a person. Although, you know, I never saw the person, so maybe it was a pigeon, and I didn't
really strong.
But that's my big memory from the first time. I don't remember the audition. I don't remember the callback, but I remember walking into the table room, and that was really
awesome. So for you guys, how great was it to record at the same time versus if you would ever have to record something by yourselves? I mean, what's that like for you as an actor?
It makes a world of a difference. Like, it's night and day, literally, to look at David in his hole.
His little cubby.
We're in the studio, but I was always sort of in this isolation. But why? I still don't understand that.
Because that's how special you were. Like, you needed your own area.
No distractions.
Exactly.
No, I guess. I always felt like I was being relegated to the
I just think Butch didn't want people going ghost like in front of everyone.
The star's always in that isolation. Like, you know, Tara in on Fairly Odd Parents, she's always over there. You have so many lines that they want to make sure your lines stay like on.
Yeah.
But in that sense, there would be, I'd be in there and I'd hear this huge burst of, what was it? Could you say it again? And then, David, we can't do it again. It's
David, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand anyway.
You weren't there for it when it happened.
So. I will say this particular cast, though, was one of those like symbiotic, like, it was always so much fun. Everyone in this group, in this booth, was just, you know, I mean, it's animation, and when you're in a group record, it's always fun. But for whatever reason, this particular group of people was just, everybody meshed. It was hilarious. I remember leaving those sessions just on a high. Like, I'd be like so happy for the rest of the day.
And she was high.
Yeah.
There's that too. But she's gotten clean. I'm just so proud of you, Colleen, now.
Well, it's legal now. We can
totally turn your life around.
I did.
It is legal now.
I did. I got my kids back.
How close are you to your Danny Phantom characters? Ricky, are you a tech guy in real life?
oh my God.
Is that a no? I guess that's a no.
I email.
Okay.
I do email.
Crazy stuff like that.
But I'm not super tech savvy. If you ask any of my friends, like, I'll ask them how to do stuff, or like, I'll give my computer to my friend, like, hey, can you clean it, or like, how do you do this? It's running slow. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's just taking a while to turn on. He's like, that's normal. I'm like, oh, I thought it was faster. But I'm not super tech savvy, but I'm trying to catch up. You know, like, I email, I make phone calls.
All right.
Don't tweet, but I'm working on it.
Colleen, are you an overachiever in real life? A little bit?
I think I was. No. I try to achieve my goals and I try to do things well. I am very much a perfectionist. I have very high expectations on my kids. Sorry, kids. I do, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it. And every once in a while, my husband's like, it was a B. That's not that big. I know. I said, I know, but college, and what if the... I get stressed for them, you know? So yeah, I'm definitely a perfectionist, and I've always had that sort of mothering thing, like with both of my siblings, it was the same way. Even though I was the middle, I took care of my brother. I was like, do you have your books? Do you have your this? Do you know? When I was in kindergarten, he was in second grade, I guess, I would go pick him up from his class after school and come on, we got to go home. Wow. And yeah.
Question for you guys. What was it like to see the relationship between Danny and his best friend Sam blossom into maybe something else, something different throughout the series? Again, that's not something that commonly happens in cartoon shows like this. What was it like for you guys to see that happen and then perform it?
Even from the initial first few episodes, I always thought this is going to sort of head that way.
Yeah.
Because there was always that kind of classic, you know, the Cheers, Sam and Diane kind of thing. They would have these little headbutting disagreements, but you could tell that underneath they really cared for each other. Yeah. So, I always thought it was going to head that way.
And I'm glad that they didn't, like, completely go there with it, though, because there's something really special about a female and a male relationship, especially when you're young and at that, you know, age that where there's just a mutual respect and it's not all about like puppy love and everything. There's just a real like strength in that. There's a sweetness to it, and there's just I'm just really glad that it was like the tension was there and everybody knew that was going on, but they really kind of respected the purity of that relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great little moments. And, you know, when you guys would tiff and then make up, the character's cheeks would get all blushy for a second. And then Tucker would be like, I'm right here, guys. I'm right here.
Just no, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm still right here.
Yeah.
If there are ever adults in an adult relationship, there should always be Tucker just in the middle of the sheets. And he's just like with his arms around the table.
It's like, guys, movie's not over yet.
They're just making out and then Tucker pops up from under the sheet. Like, what?
There was a kiss, though, right? I mean, didn't they?
But wasn't it like a flash, like a... Where it wasn't real.
It was like, let's see where this goes. And, you know, in the very last episode, it was Danny going, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I hope you're there and we're still friends and let's figure it out. And it was something that, again, it wasn't leaned into too heavy.
Yeah. I remember that they did totally explore it and I'm going, oh my God, what's going on? And then it turned out to be just a dream.
Right. Yeah. You got to have those. Okay. Exactly.
I never should have betrayed your trust by spying on you and your boyfriend.
Ugh, he's not my boyfriend. I dumped him as soon as I figured out that you were right about him being a phony. Apparently that is the only way a boy can like me.
That's not true. That's totally not true. There are a million reasons a boy could like you. I mean, you're smart, you're fun, you're cool, you're pretty. Why am I still talking? I am such a spaz. Still friends?
Psh, the best.
David, what was it like when you heard that Danny was getting a lot of fan mail from young girls, from young women? Real popular with the ladies.
You know, it's funny because I get these messages from girls and older women who actually will say, I have a crush on Danny Phantom. Yeah. I'm in love with the cartoon character. Oh my gosh, he's so dreamy. He's so cute. And they'll converse with me. And it's not me they're conversing with.
They want to talk to Danny.
They want to talk to Danny.
Yeah.
You're like, send Danny money at this address.
And it's a little like, I don't want to like spoil anything for them. I don't want to rock their world. And so I like, do I talk to them as Danny Phantom? Mm-hmm. Or do I talk to them as me and say, yeah, my wife, blah, 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 blah. Because they don't want to hear that. They want this fantasy of Danny alive. So it's a little weird.
Sure.
In that sense.
That's a hell of a first date, though. Hey, you want to go to the ghost world?
Yeah.
like, no? Yeah. It's like, he brings new meaning to it. He ghosted me, like, after the date. He just ghosted me. I don't know where he went. I want to do conventions. You guys, not that, sorry to take this away from you, but wouldn't it be fun to, like, go to towns as the cast of Danny Phantom?
Yes.
And meet fans and sign.
Yeah.
Do we get paid for that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm totally down.
so any convention promoters?
Yes, have us all.
Yeah.
Call Gray.
Yeah, my booker is jeff@celebritytalentbookings.com.
Yeah.
No, but I think it'd be great to have like the whole cast all together at one event, you know?
I mean, I don't know if you guys have any idea how insanely packed and popular like a panel would be of you guys. What has it been like for you guys to see, because when the show was on the air, the internet was a thing. But it's very different today. And there's that instant, you know, feedback you get from fans. What's it like been for you guys to see the audience that Danny Phantom is still accumulating all these years later, and you're still constantly getting feedback and messages and, you know, bring it back. When's it coming back? I mean, mm-hmm. What's that like? What's it been like for you guys?
It's kind of crazy to me. Like, whenever I see, you know, there's the fan art, and it's daily. Bring Danny Phantom back. And it's like, wow, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
And people still love it. It still holds up. And they really, truly, like, they're begging. Like, Butch, mm-hmm. bring it back, please. mm-hmm. It's kind of, I mean, it's great, but it's strange at the same time.
Yeah. Have you guys seen that social media campaign, #GoGhostAgain? People are trying to bring it back.
I know.
I haven't.
You have to.
Now, what exactly is the purpose of this skill contest?
To defeat all foes, reach level 13, and retrieve the 7 silver keys to the apocalypse.
And what happens after that?
Gain ultimate power and access to the World Wide Web!
Well, I think the answer that I would get from you guys if I asked you, would you come back, is a resounding yeah. If it were to come back, how would you want it to come back? Would you want it to pick up right where it left off, or would you want maybe some years to have progressed in the story?
Maybe double scale.
$10,000
and a trailer with green M&M's. We'll work out the minutiae.
Yeah, definitely. As long as that's there, and then, you know, just whatever. But that, you know, double scale.
I think it'd be fun to see them as adults with their kids fighting ghosts too.
I would have thought that, like, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to that, so I would have thought that I would have wanted it to stay the way it was.
Sure.
But then seeing Butch's 10 years later, which I want to see a jazz 10 years later.
Ah.
But right. Just seeing those drawings and stuff, I think it would be kind of interesting.
What do you think happened to Tucker? What do you think happens to him?
Okay.
Let's get into it.
My story time voice.
Okay.
I think Tucker, in his teenage years, grew up, probably founded Instagram.
Yeah. Oh,
all
right. Definitely.
Yes. Yes.
Has all the ladies and fights ghosts in his spare time with his best friend, Danny.
Colleen, where do you think Jazz is maybe 10 years later? What would you like to see with the character?
Well, I think because she found out towards the end there mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe she's running her own company, but on the side, maybe she helps out at night.
Oh, and, that'd be cool.
You know, she needs a suit. Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get her one of that Fenton family suits. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. David, where's Danny Phantom 10 years later? What's he doing?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I could kind of wonder, like, is it that, because it was so much under wraps in a lot of ways as far as his identity.
Oh, and at like the end, it's out later, in the open.
Yeah,
it's out
now,
in the open.
Are people aware of it? Is he more like a Spider-Man kind of figure where people know that, that we're having the problem with this ghost?
I think we
need
should
to call
be trying
Danny
to hide
Phantom.
It from our kids. Like, I think our kids have no idea that we're
Oh, ghosts. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Would the kids
in high
know?
School 10 years?
We're college area? Yeah.
Might be even after, quite a little after college, mm-hmm. just out of college. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Greg, you're saying you're still ghost hunting, ghost fighting, but hiding it from kids.
Yeah.
From Danny and Sam's kids.
Yeah, I think so. It should be, I guess a little bit more than 10 years later.
I think I should tell them.
Why? Parents don't listen. Even worse, they don't understand. Why can't they accept me for who I am?
Sam, I'm talking about my powers. My problems?
Oh, right. Me too.
Did you guys always plan on being voice actors?
Honestly, I totally fell into it.
Yeah.
It was a total accident. I've always done a lot of theatrical stuff, and series and stuff. And then I did go through this period where I did like a billion on-camera commercials. Mm-hmm. And I was going in for this on-camera commercial audition, and casting director Danny Goldman saw me. Literally, it was just right place at the right time. Saw me, and he was casting the Back to the Future animated series for CBS. And he's like, David, come here in my office. He goes, here, take a look at this. Go audition for this. Go in the booth over there. And so I did. I don't even remember if I had a callback. I don't think I did.
You just booked it?
I auditioned for it, and wow. I think that they had to send the tape. I think Michael Fox had to approve it.
Cool.
Because since I was sort of like dubbing for his voice.
I'm going to put in the J. He's like Michael Fox.
My
brain didn't recognize that. I was like, Michael Fox.
Mike had to approve my voice.
MJ. <Yeah. laughs>
And I think he did. And
he's perfect.
Yeah. Colleen, how did you get into voice acting? Was it an accident, or was it something that you always wanted to do?
Well, I always watched Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. For us, when we were kids, that's all we had was Saturday morning. or like the Flintstones after school, mm-hmm. Wonderful World of Disney, the Muppets. Those were always my favorite things. And I always kind of just gave voices to babies or animals that could not speak for themselves. They'd have a look on their face and be like, that's what that baby's saying. And I kind of actually bothered some of my friends in high school. They're like, just talk normal. And I didn't have any control over it. It was sort of Sybil-like. And I did musical theater.
Yeah.
I started when I was like an eighth grader. So, and then I went to college for musical theater. But I got a dual majors because I thought, oh, I want to do music therapy. And then by the end of college, I was like, I don't want to do any more school. but then I also didn't want to do musical theater anymore. Mm. And I was doing a voice, and an instructor came running over and was like, was that you? And I'm like, I'm sorry. They just kind of come out. And she goes, no, you need to do voiceover. And that was the first time I actually had heard that term before.
Yeah.
Like, I remembered when The Little Mermaid came out, and I got the CD, and I played it in my dorm room, and I'm like, I want to be the Little Mermaid. Like, that was it for me. When she said that, and I was like, oh my God, that's somebody's job. Wait, whoa. I'm going to do this. And I was in Michigan, and I was like, can't do this here.
So that's awesome.
Moved out to LA, and that was it for me.
Sweetie, I know what we do doesn't make sense sometimes, but you're only 16. Biologically, but psychologically, I'm an adult, and I will not allow your insane obsession with ghosts to pollute the mind of this impressionable little child. Come, you abused, unwanted wretch. I'll drive you to school. Huh. That's weird. Jasmine never offers to drive Danny to school.
That could only mean one thing. That's not our daughter. That's a ghost. Danny, no, it's a trap!
Ricky, when did you know you were going to be an actor? When did you know that you were going to do that? And did you always know you were going to do voice acting, too?
I did. It was completely intentional. at 6 years old, I remember I was watching TV, and I told my grandmother at the time, who was a booking agent, I said, Grandma, I want to do that. She goes, okay, sweetie. And 6 months later, it was like, no, Grandma, I want to be on TV. And she was like, okay, when you're ready. Like, 3 months later, I was like, no, Grandma, now. Like, I want to do it now. And she gave me a few lessons. We did about 2 months of training. She took me over to my agent.
Wow.
And I met with them. And not my agent at the time, but they signed me after we met. And it was kind of like a cakewalk since then. I mean, I'm very blessed and very fortunate. Like, I've been working since I was six. Started in movies and TVs. I've done the cult classics like Little Giants and all that fun stuff. And started doing like McDonald's spots, like radio spots. Mm-hmm. And that kind of turned into animation. And first big gig was Recess. Obviously, I did that. That was really cool. And then hopped over to Nickelodeon. It was really cool. It was really cool going from Disney to Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I'm leaving Disney. Should I do this? And I'm like, wait, they're paying me. I'm going. I'm totally going. It's always been something I wanted to do. Camera and voiceover. Like, it's always been there.
Gray, I think we've had this conversation before.
I did stand up and I did impressions.
Yep.
But I've always done voices since I was little, like Colin, like since I was and I always wanted to be an actor. Like, I never even thought about anything else. Like, from the time I was 4 or 5. Like, I remember in preschool they had us do the first letter of your name, which my given name is Aaron Gray. But I it was a big E, and I put Aaron the Entertainer, you know, and I wasn't even like an actor. I was just, and because the funny thing is, I do, you know, I do singing and I do mm-hmm. this and I do, you know, a lot of different. I did comedy and I do voiceovers, so it's more of like an entertainer thing than an actor thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, I never ever considered doing anything else, and I really thought I was going to be just like this poor destitute person that was just trying to, because I was like, I'm never doing something else. I mean, I'm just going to be one of those loser actors that just keeps plugging away.
What is your advice for young people who are maybe interested in doing what you do, who are maybe interested in acting and maybe voice
acting?
Don't
do it.
Great.
Stay away.
Yeah.
We've got enough people.
Ray wants all the jobs.
Yeah. Got to keep that circle small. Got to keep it small.
I tell people not to let anybody ever tell you no, because I refuse to let people tell me no. I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Just keep going at it. Figure out what you're good at. You know, don't totally, I mean, do listen to people, but, yeah. you know, take advice, but also take that advice inward and feel if it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows better what's right for you than you.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to work harder for you than you.
That's true.
No one's going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. And when it comes to voiceover, think in terms of character, not just silly voices. People yeah. tell me I've got a good voice. I should do voiceover. That's fantastic. That's mm-hmm. a good place to start. You got to have that tool. But then you also have to think in terms of character. And what does that, you know, all the basic acting things. What, who am I talking to? What's my intention? What's my story? Where have I been? Where am I going?
Mm-hmm. So you'd recommend people to take
acting classes. Improv
yeah.
classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cold mm-hmm. reading classes.
Yeah.
Because if you screw up like the first couple times you read the thing, they're not going to let you do a second take.
Sure.
Yeah, no, they're like,
just your 5 minutes. But if you do, if you don't make any mistakes and you do a great first read, they'll go, do you have any other ideas for the character? Then you get like 2 shots at
then
the character.
There you go. Yeah. That's really great advice. David, what advice would you give yourself in terms of acting and voice acting when you were starting out? If you could go back in time and give your 9-year-old self, your 15, your 20-year-old self some advice, what would it be?
If you could go back in time.
I didn't mean to do that.
Wow. Ooh, that's a... I would say to my younger self, be open to other things other than just acting.
Yeah.
Because I think about the opportunities maybe that I could have pursued
sure.
when I had opportunities to, because I, you know, like I've done series and there was a sitcom that I worked on for 4 years. And I look back and I go, I had 4 years where I could have shadowed the director and watched them yeah. and learned from them
yeah.
and, you know, be open to writing and directing and pursue those things
yeah.
and do those things while you're, you know, you're the hot
yeah.
20-year-old,
while you're
22-year-old.
There. While you're there on set,
because
yeah.
then, as you get older, you might have opportunities to branch into other things.
Absolutely. That's so. Great advice. Take advantage of where you are when you're there. Always yeah. be learning.
Right, exactly.
Always be learning. Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Ricky, what advice would you give your young self starting out, or somebody else who's starting out who wants to maybe get into voice acting and animation?
My young self, I would tell myself to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And really be in the moment and be there. Like, I was so young when I started. I was doing Recess at 13 and I was doing Danny Phantom, you know, 17, 18 when I through college. And I didn't really think I understood the magnitude of what I was doing at the time.
Yeah.
Now people say, oh my gosh, you're Tucker, or oh my gosh, you're Vince. Like, I grew up with you. I'm like, no, you didn't. They're like, no, seriously, I grew up with you. Like, me and my brother, or me and my sister, me and my mom and my dad, we watched you every Saturday. And to me, that's something I didn't embrace growing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, like I said, understand the magnitude of what I was a part of. Yeah. And I think I would tell myself, just understand what you're doing and what you're a part of and just enjoy it. Like, be in the moment. And I think for anyone else, one of the things my grandma always told me, your talent will always make room for you.
Oh.
Don't worry about what you don't book.
Yeah.
Don't worry about how many no's you get. What is for you is always for you and will be. No one can take it from you, because your talent will make room for you. So if anyone going through auditioning, getting no's,
yeah.
don't worry about it. It's not for you.
Yeah.
What's for you, nobody can take from you and you'll get it.
I love that.
That's stitch so that great. On a pillow.
I know. I know.
Guys, do you guys have a favorite fan interaction, a favorite fan moment for Danny Phantom?
there was this a group of fans, and they're probably listening to this right now.
Don't flatter yourself.
I hope that they're gonna. He's gonna talk about when he came and met us at UCLA. But there was a big like animation something going on at UCLA. I can't remember what it was, and this fan club of Danny Phantom said we're I think it was right after the show stopped production.
Sure,
and they wanted to. They wanted a fourth season. So we're going to be here and we're going to demonstrate in front of this. I think it was something with Nickelodeon, UCLA. We're going to have a big demonstration.
Wow.
And would you please come and support? And I was like, well, okay. I'll come and support them.
Sure.
That's so sweet of them to do.
Yeah.
And so I showed up and like a few days before I had gotten sick. I had the flu or whatever or cold, and it went into my voice. So I was really, I had no voice. I was hoarse and raspy, and I got there and I could barely talk, but I didn't want to let them down. And they're like, please do the Danny Phantom voice. So I'm forcing myself. I'm struggling, pushing myself to do this. And I totally blew out my cords. And like for like 2 or 3 weeks, I had no voice. And I was like, I'm an idiot.
So and also they were probably like, not really.
Yeah, and they were like, he doesn't exactly sound like exactly like a real life.
So funny.
And so I disappointed them, and I kind of ruined 3 weeks of work for myself. So that That's your favorite fan moment?
That's
not my favorite. It was probably my most memorable.
That's so funny. That's great.
That's cool. I actually got a letter in the mail from my agency, and I was like, oh, what's this? I opened it up, and I don't remember the kid's name, but a kid actually drew a picture of Tucker and sent it to my agent, and my agent forwarded it to me, and I was like, I think the kid might have been like 10, 11,
yeah.
And it was really good, and that was one of those moments that I kind of reflected, like, wow, I'm actually touching, like, yeah, kids, and not in that way. That's ridiculous, guys.
I listened to this podcast,
and he said it's so weird.
Directly.
I'm making an impact on children.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to see someone take the time to draw your character and figure out where to send it and how to get it to you.
Like, growing up,
I would have never thought to do that.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, wow, like these kids actually enjoy our product, our work so much that they draw and they send and they...
And I send it right back. I do not accept unsolicited.
It was surreal for me. Like I had never gotten that. Yeah. I've gotten stuff from other stuff I've done.
In the same way you saw TV and you're like, I want to do that. Your guys' work influenced a kid so much that he drew this and you said it was really good. That kid might be an animator today.
Right.
Colleen, do you have a favorite?
I was at a convention and I was sitting at my table and I had all my pictures out, and this kid came up, he's probably in his early 20s,
mm-hmm,
and he's looking and he's like, oh yeah, I recognize that, mm-hmm, and then he stopped at Jazz and he literally clutched his chest and went, oh, you got me in my childhood. It was so cute.
That's,
and it was
so
just
great.
You know, like Ricky said, like to think that, oh, that's what they watched when they were a kid, like,
yeah,
you know, I watched the Flintstones and Scooby-Doo and the Super Friends, and you know, that's what they watch when they're growing up, and it's kind of cool.
So crazy
that you're part of that.
It's somebody's Flintstones. Danny Phantom is somebody's Super Friends.
Right.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
That's
great.
Really cool.
Gray, do you have a favorite Danny Phantom specific fan interaction?
The costumes are incredible.
Oh,
like,
we have to talk
so
about
much
yeah
great Danny Phantom cosplay.
Yeah,
and I mean, they're all incredible. Like the contacts and everything.
Yeah.
Crazy good.
The poses, the photography,
yeah,
the wigs, the, you know, mm-hmm, the armor, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, they'll have like the whole cast. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of different, you know, kids dressing up,
I've
young
had
people.
Groups come up like that, where they're missing a Sam, and I'm like, I'll be your Sam. And
aww,
take pictures with them as, you know, they're all like, yeah, it's
wow
great.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
Well, guys, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in. This has been so much fun.
Aww.
This is really, really special. We hope
said that to us at Loud House, though, too.
No, listen, to you guys, to Loud House. To Loud House. I didn't mean it. To Loud House. I was like, we'll see. We'll see how people like this. This is a brand new thing. But Danny Phantom is a special show. It's so great. And it's awesome to see you guys. And hopefully, on behalf of the fans, we get to see some more Danny Phantom
absolutely
someday.
But they'll see us for a little bit on the crossover.
Exactly, yeah. Guys. That crossover.
Get a little nostalgia.
If you haven't seen it, it was so great. Yeah. I mean, look, everybody's going to throw this term around and they're going to be tweeting it at you guys, but yeah. This is legitimate. All of the feels, just all of the chills and the goosebumps when you see these characters and it's your guys' voices again and they're there and there's a ghost portal and the thing's coming out. So check out the crossover. It's on social media right now. Go get it. Go look for it.
Go tweet it.
Tweet,
is that right?
Tweet,
right?
Tweet, come on. You're a cricket.
You said it right. You said it right. You said it right. Oh, hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with the incredible cast of Danny Phantom. Huge thanks to David Kaufman, Gray Griffin, Ricky Deshaun Collins, and Colleen O'Shaughnessy for coming in and sharing some stories. That was awesome. Guys, head over to nickanimationpodcast.com for all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes stuff. Leave us a review or a comment if you'd like. It helps us out. Thanks to the awesome crew who puts this podcast together. This podcast is produced by
Jonathan Highlander,
Dana Vasquez-Eberhardt,
Kelly Smith,
Andrew Huebner.
Original music by Useful Creatures. This week's episode edited by
Josh Caldwell,
Jonathan Highlander.
All of the incredible social media for our podcast is made by
Narbe Manassians,
Sammy Armiger,
David Watson.
And thanks to the man who works the controls and makes me sound better than I have a right to,
Manny Grava.
Until next time, thanks for listening to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and keep watching cartoons.